precious blood that flowed from Calvary can make the sinner holy. Come wash me clean till every part of me is yours, Lord, and yours only. It's been so long since I felt Jesus. Just once again, I long to feel His presence.
I'm blood and washed in the blood of the Lamb. I had a cleansing from the fountain.
My soul was hungry.
My soul was hungry. I had this tasting within.
I've been
washed in the blood of the Lamb.
How oft I cried a glimpse of Calvary, remembering nights down on my knees in prayer. I cried, Lord, here I am, please use me. A fool was I to ever leave you. Just once again, I long.
Well, I'm glad I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb this morning, and I hope you are as well. It's not a thing that happens automatically when you're born, but it takes that part of life you come to, that intersection where you realize you are a sinner and you are separated from God because of the sin nature, and you need to be reconnected through Jesus. And so that's my prayer today, is that if you have not been connected to God through Jesus, that today will be the day you ask Him to do that. And say, it's good to be back with you. We were gone last Sunday down south and on the coast on a surfboard. No, I'm just kidding. Not a surfboard, I guarantee you. But we had a wonderful time last week. All sunshine, no rain down in Florida. And I feel waterlogged. I do. My nasal area, and feel like I'm croaking as a frog when I talk. And nonetheless, we appreciate you giving us some time off, and we thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed it. And but we're glad to be back, and we're excited to be back behind the pulpit this morning. And we're looking to see what God wants to do today, this morning and this evening. I do not believe that the doors of this church is open by chance or in vain. There's a reason why these doors are open. And there's a purpose as to why we're here. And we have come together to worship the Lord. We have music with a message, gospel music, to speak to your heart, our hearts. And then we open up the blessed book, the book of life, to bring a message from God for a reason. And my prayer is that we are receptive to the gospel singing that we're doing, and also to the message when that time comes, to see what God may have to tell us this morning. I do want to mention a few things before we pray, and then I'll toss it back to Brother Allen. We have a few prayer requests that were given Wednesday night and this morning. I want to mention our newest member, Mary Kelly, over here on my left, your right. She gave a prayer request of her granddaughter having leukemia. And so you help us pray for her. That's Mary Kelly's granddaughter who has leukemia. And so help us pray for her during this time. also, it was mentioned Wednesday night, Brother Jack Henderson has a rib head out that's totally detached from his rib cage, and as I understand it. And so let's pray for him on that, along with some other physical elements he's battling and facing. On a good note, 97 Revelation books have been sent out. And so we give a round of applause for that. And Brother Jack and Sister Jackie, co-laboring together, have made Revelations, Book of Revelation, a specific study, easy to understand, in chronological order, as it is not in chronological order as you read it in Revelation. And so we appreciate that, and we are getting close to 100 copies being sent out. So well done job on that. We praise the Lord for his grace sending that out. Brother Joe Vandiver is going for heart catheterization on Friday. I believe that's correct. I heard a moment ago. And so let's pray for him that they find no blockages. And but if they do, that they can take care of it then and be done with it. And he can be on his road to recovery. Again, just pick up a bulletin if you would in the back or on the side here. That way you can stay in tune and up to date on everything going around or going on here at the church. Hard to believe, but it is August, and the first couple days of school have been accomplished. So let's remember our kids and teachers as we move forward the school year. And just to give a brief commercial, on the 27th of August, it'll be Tuesday the 27th, and we'll be singing at Floyd Road in their Jubilee. And Brother Craig Edwards will be preaching, so remember that. Well, let's pray, and then we will give it back to Brother Allen, and let's just worship the Lord this morning and ask him to do great and mighty things. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name this morning. Lord, we're thankful for what you have done. Lord, in the past year, you have added 10 people to the membership here of Calvary, Miss Mary Kelly being the 10th one a couple Sundays ago, and we praise you for that. And Lord, you are working here at Calvary. Lord, it's a slow, the wheels of your working at times move slow, but that's what we, that's what we want. We want slow, steady, assured growth, slow, steady ministries, being assured of those ministries, that a way we can move forward in confidence, and we're thankful. But Lord, there are many other steps we must take, and we want to take them, I say briefly, quickly, but Lord, we are just aware of some steps we need to take when it comes to our future of the church here, our young people. Lead me, God, guide me in the leadership in that way. We're excited to have young people here, and we're excited, Lord, that they do take part in our services from time to time. But Lord, we want to see that much more, and we want to see them displaying their gifts and their talents, Lord, because it excites us, Lord, to see the next generation living for you and worshiping you. We do pray for all these requests, that you would be with each and every one of them. You know who needs what. Father, you know the hearts that need comforting. You know, Lord, those that came in this morning who mentally cannot add things together as to what's going on in their life. I pray this morning you would appear, Lord. You would appear in the sense, Lord, that we feel your presence and we're assured that things will work out even though we can't add them up. Help us, Lord, to cast our cares on you and to rest in Jesus. Our seats are at your table. And we pray, Lord, that you would feed us. We love you. We thank you for what you've done. We thank you for what you're doing. And we praise you and thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Allen.
Choir, would you stand? Church, would you stand this morning? Would you agree with me this morning that we need Jesus more than anything in this world? It's a very crazy world that we live in, amen? You turn on the TV and you watch the news and realize that it seems to be just one catastrophe after the other. But we're in a safe environment this morning, and we have the Spirit of the Lord in this place and the hand of the Lord upon us. And this morning, could we just worship Him and praise Him and thank Him this morning that we have Him in our life? Jesus, Jesus, there is something about that name. Would you sing that with me this morning and worship Him? Just take the time to worship the Lord. Put everything else aside this morning. Good to see you in the house of the Lord. If you're visiting with us, you are our special guest here at Calvary today. We thank you for being here with us. Many of you have been visiting with us for some time. We just claim you as home folks, and thank you for being here today. Pray that the Lord would speak to you in a very special way. And it's good for us to be back here today this morning as well. I know we kind of all went on vacation, kind of seemed like at one time, but we all got it out of our system. Amen. And we're back here today, and praise the Lord for it. Missed being here with you last week. Prayed for you. Thank you for your prayers for us. And we're thankful for a safe trip. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord this morning to worship Him and praise Him. You pray for us this morning. Pray that the Holy Spirit would fill this place. Remember all the announcements. Choir, I need you to be here with me today at 5 o'clock. And as Pastor mentioned this morning, on August the 27th, on that Tuesday evening, it's going to be a little bit different for us this year. We're going to have what we're going to call the Jubilee Choir over at Floyd Road that night. We're going to be joining with Floyd Road's choir. A group of them are going to join with us, and we're going to have a little bit of a Jubilee Choir that night on that Tuesday evening. And we've got a little bit of work to do between now and then. We're going to choose some songs that they know and that we know, and we're going to sing and worship, praise the Lord together. That'll be a great time, and that'll be an exciting time. You know what it's like when we do There's a Fountain. We're going to do about a half a dozen songs. Ooh, that makes me want to run and shout right here. We're going to try to do about a half a dozen songs like that night. So you pray for us that the Lord would give us some songs that we can worship and praise together. And that'll be a very exciting time. Again, Brother Craig Edwards will be preaching that night. So go ahead and mark that on your calendars that Tuesday evening, 7 o'clock over at Floyd Road. But pray for us for the next few weeks. We try and get ourselves together. It's hard to get time to spend and work together, but we're going to do that over the next few weeks. So make that a matter of prayer. Again, choir will be with me here today at 5 o'clock. And please remember all the prayer requests have been spoken this morning, and I'm sure we have unspoken prayer requests as well. And we just ask the Lord to be with each one. But let's go to Him in a word of prayer. Ask the Lord to be with us today and ask His blessings on the offering as well. Brother Charlie Wilson, would you lead us as we pray? There's not a one of us in this morning, here this morning, that have not been through a storm. Some of you in this building today may be going through a storm right now. Some of those are storms that take us by surprise, and we wonder where in the world did all that come from. Some of us, to be real honest, we wonder, will I make it through this one? Will this be the one that takes me out? I was speaking with someone this very week. He was sharing with me a storm that he was going through, and I guess maybe I began to feel a little sorry for myself and begin to share some of my storms with him that I'd gone through over this past year. And he looked at me and he said, I don't think I'll ever share a storm with you anymore. I said, no, I probably shouldn't have said anything. He said, no. He said, that makes me feel a little bit better. But I'll tell you this. Hear me and hear me well. Brother Snyder sang this song. I've been here over 20 years. And I've heard him say this. And it rings loud and clear still in my mind. I have been through enough to know that He will be enough for me. When I first began to walk with the Lord, I did not really trust Him. How He longed for me to understand that I could. So through the valley He led me, afraid as I could be, till I felt His loving arms embracing me. Why would I ever doubt a God whose hands hold this universe. Why would I ever question His abilities? There's no place that I can go where He does not know the things that trouble me. He's always aware of where I am.
Come through too many times.
to know that he'll be enough for me.
I was just, while we were singing this, I was thinking, you know, people that come into the church, that just comes visiting and that may not know the Lord, or even people that do come in that have known the Lord all their life, and they see us in this church and they see everybody happy and smiling. They don't really know. In fact, a lot of our own church members don't know everything that everybody has went through in their lifetime. Whether it's been any type of struggle or addiction of any kind. They don't know how much the Lord has forgiven each of us. You know, we put levels on sin as far as telling a lie is not really a bad sin, but murdering somebody is a horrific sin. But you know, in God's eyes, a sin is a sin. He doesn't put levels on it. But the one awesome thing is that we can ask him to forgive us of that. Even just telling a lie can really burden somebody. You know, and then other people, killing somebody doesn't bother them at all. But when you're a child of God, we have the most awesome thing that we could do, and that's to ask him to forgive us. And no matter how big we think it is or how small we think it is, he is so, so happy that we ask him for that forgiveness. I've had to ask for forgiveness for many, many things in my lifetime. Some small things, some big things, you know. And like I said, we always put degrees on different things. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. God loves us with all his heart because he gave his only begotten son for us. And I'm just so thankful today that he does forgive us.
He's all I need. I just need someone to talk to. He's always there to hear my prayer each time I call him. All my needs he will supply, my thirsty soul he satisfies, and he's the Lord of all, and he's all I need. He's all I need. I dare not turn to any other, for he's a friend. A friend who's closer than any brother. On this friend I can rely to be my strength as life goes by. And he's the Lord of all, he's all I need. He comforts me when I'm weary, eases every pain, fills my deepest longing time and time again. He's my soul's inspiration, my heart's consolation. He's my everything. He's all I need. He's my soul's inspiration, my heart's consolation. He's my everything. He's all I
on the Lord's time. And while Brother Allen is looking for what he's looking for, I just want to encourage each and every one of you that the altar call is open. The altars are open the moment we come in these doors in the morning. And this is the Lord's time. And if the Lord's speaking to you, please take time and come. And I know sometimes, listen, I know sometimes it can be an intimidating thing. But I want to tell you what I want to do. I want to stand right here this morning on this stage, on this platform. And if anybody comes that needs help, I'll be here to meet you this morning. And so it's the Lord's service, and whatever Brother Allen feels at this point of the song service, then we will continue. Altars are open.
Crossing the calm sea with Jesus, the disciples were getting concerned. The wind started violently blowing, but he was asleep in the stern. Does he not care that we perish? We're helpless and we're so afraid. Jesus arose when they called him and said to them, "Where is your faith? Because you prayed all night, because you held on with all your might, child with Christ, have awoken the Master. He knows your voice. Lift your hands, it's time to rejoice. Child with Christ, have awoken the Master." Hit you without any warning, the storm of your life had begun, but seeing no hope in the distance, you're frightened and nowhere to run. By now your vessel is filling, and you're thinking that you'll surely drown. You've cried out for help from the Savior, and you know you can't give up now, because you prayed all night, 'cause you held on with all your might. Child, your cries have awoken the Master. He knows your voice. Lift your they're worried while he's fast asleep. The winds are so deadly, the water's so deep. But try to be patient, 'cause he'll soon bring peace. Just one word from his voice, and it all must cease.
Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32 this morning. And let's bow for prayer and we will bring about the sermon this morning with a brief introduction and then we'll get into the lesson. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for how you've moved this morning. As our hearts long for those to respond, Lord, as I myself have to respond at times. Lord, we long for healing and we long for restoration. We long for the very best to be in the lives of people and your people. Father, we pray for the next few moments as we change gears a little, that you would be with us and help us follow your leadership, Lord. As we mentioned some things out of Deuteronomy 32. Lord, if we were to go home right now, we could all say that it was good to be here in your house this morning. We love you. And we thank you for this door of opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. Deuteronomy 32. I've had this chapter on my heart for a couple weeks now, and down in Florida, and then meditating on the way back, and as late as last night, the Lord just didn't let me leave from some verses out of Deuteronomy 32. I know of a few people that are in heaviness right now and going through times of transition, and what I have to say this morning, I believe the Lord has put there, and so I hope it'll be a blessing. But Deuteronomy 32 is known as the Song of Moses, the Song of Moses, or Psalm of Moses. And David's not the only one who has psalms. We have seen in recent days that Moses has a psalm, this one here, but also we have seen that, and you know, David has many psalms, but we spoke a few Wednesday nights ago about the prophet Habakkuk and how he has a psalm or a song out of Habakkuk chapter number 3. And many others have psalms. Jeremiah has many psalms. And really, what we mean by that is it's poetic, poetic heartfelt words from the heart of experiences in life. And it, sometimes it's put to music with string instruments and such. But that's what it is. A psalm is it's a song. It's heartfelt words that a person has gathered and experienced through life. And they put it to the set of music or string instruments even. But we have here Moses, we believe is the writer in Deuteronomy. In chapter number 32, he is given his heart's expression before he goes off and goes on to be with the Lord and goes in death. And in verse number 1, he says, "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth." He says in verse 2 and 3, "My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he." Now, for the writer to say that, in that first phrase, "He is the rock, his work is perfect," That's a summarization of life experiences to say that His work is perfect. Because many times in life when we encounter situations and we are at intersections of faith and doubt, we wonder, Lord, what's going on in life? Is your work perfect? Are you in control of all things? And listen, these are legitimate questions. One time a person said, I'm doubting that I'm saved. I said, I'm doubting that you're not saved, because a lost person doesn't doubt their salvation. And so many times in the life of a Christian, there is the intersection of faith and doubt. But Moses says He is the rock. His work is perfect. And then he spends, again, many verses. In verse number 5, I'm summarizing here down to verse number 9. He talks about a faithless people, Israel. And then he concludes the chapter, and there's many verses in this chapter. In fact, there's 52 verses, and he talks about the faithful God. And so we have the song of Moses here in Deuteronomy 32. And it consists primarily of a faithless people, but a faithful Father. And I don't know what intersection of life that you're at this morning, and I don't know if it makes sense or not, but if you are at an intersection of faith and doubt, there are some things that God mentions here through Moses that helps the reader understand how God works. And we've all been there at those times in life when we wonder what God is up to. With that said, I want you to notice in verse number 11, the Bible says, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord. You see that in verse number 12? He says, so the Lord. And the writer is likening this mother eagle to the Lord in the Lord's ways. And so he says, so the Lord alone did lead him. And there was no strange God with him. Sometimes it feels like we are experiencing strange days. And in fact, Peter said in the New Testament, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. Sometimes there are strange things that occur in our life. And that's because we try to piece the puzzle together. But he says there was no strange God with him. Look at verse 13. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock, butter of kind and milk of sheep, with fat of lambs and rams of the bread of Bashan, and goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat. And thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. Again, he goes on and on and on, and he talks about this faithful Lord we serve in the midst of a faithless people. I want to say this morning that this does give a picture of Christianity today, because as I want to always hit the target of holiness and purity and faithfulness and all the rest up for Jesus, I very rarely, I can't even say a time I hit the target, because our goodness, our righteousness is as filthy rags. And so we try to hit the target for God, and we try to do good and provide for our families and be responsible and be the Christian He wants us to be. But there's times where we do not. And there's times where we fall short, and there's times where we drop the ball. And so what does God do? Does He refrain His blessing from us? Now, we know Old Testament times, it's a you do this and I'll do that. But listen, we're in the New Testament age where it's all of grace. And grace is not to be taken as a sin card to sin or to be lax in our Christian life. Well, if it's all of grace, it doesn't matter. I want to do as least as possible that I can and get by with it. No, because if you're truly born again, you are going to want to please the Lord. And the times that you do fail, there is that grace card to show the devil. And the Lord still blesses His people. But in Deuteronomy 32, I want us to look at verse number 11 for a moment. And I have quoted from this verse. I've used this verse. I look back and it's been right at 2 years ago when I even shared some things out of this verse to you. 2 years ago almost. Time is flying by. And I want you to notice that in this verse, there is a push step. There's a push step here. And I'll get into that in a minute. He says, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. And again, verse number 12, so the Lord. And so there's a picture here of an eagle tending to its babies, comparable to the Lord and his people. But in this verse, there is a critical step. And if I began to think, and I was early this morning, about this specific step, the push step, how scary it must have been to be a little eaglet. And it's basically when the time has come where they are rested, they are in their comfort zone, they have wings to fly, but something has kept them comfortable for a long period of time. And the oversight of this mother eagle says it is time to fly. And so there's this push step where the mother eagle intimidates the young one. And it intimidates the young one so much that the only way to be liberated from this intimidation is to jump. This is the push step. I want to say that many times in life, God allows us to be in places of familiarity, places that are familiar, for a period of time. Because when things are routine and things are familiar, we get things done, don't we? But then after a long period of time where we have life by the horn, so to speak, by the reins, and there's no growth in our life at this particular point because of how familiar things are, God allows this push to take place. Do you feel like that things are shifting in your life? Do you feel like that you've been where you've been, whether it's a job, I don't know, a situation you've been dealing with for so long that you could actually approach it blindfolded? Sometimes God comes along and he gives us a push. He gives us a push because he knows that we can fly. He has created us to fly. He has given us wings to fly. And so this step, the push step, is going to take place in everybody's life from time to time. I think even just the most simplest illustration in the New Testament, when the disciples were in the boat, your cries awoken the master we just sang about. They were in that boat. That boat is a picture of security. But then Peter, at first they thought it was the Spirit walking on water. You've heard the story. But then Peter asked, said, Lord, is that you bid me to come on the water? And guess what he did? He walked on water. He was tired of the security in the realm of the natural, and he was ready to go to Jesus even in the midst of his great disastrous weather and wind and rain. He was ready to walk on water. So there was a push there. I want to say this morning that there are three steps, or there are at least three things that are involved with this push step that I want to mention. Number one, in verse 11, there's the objective. There's the objective. Notice what he says in verse 11. As an eagle stirreth up her nest. And so the objective we know is to get the eagle out of the nest, but also the objective is to stir the nest. This mother eagle sees that there's been this comfort zone for so long, and it's time for her babies to fly. And so the first thing she does, her objective is to stir things up. And, you know what stir means. I've had my days of stirring Nestle's quick chocolate milk and all the other crazy stuff together. Stir also means to awake. It means to stir. It means to awake one out of slumber or sleep. It means to get the attention of. And so this mother eagle, she has an objective, and it is to stir up her nest, to awake her nest, to get the attention of the babies, to get the attention of the babies. Mother eagle does this to get the babies out of the nest. I want to ask you a question, church, this morning. Is God stirring up your nest? What's going on at home where there's a stirring and there's this great awakening, not necessarily after spiritual things, but you know you have to do something. There's something at home. There's something at work. There's something at school even. And it's not safe and sound anymore. There's been a stirring. There's been this awakening at these places. And you know you have to make a move on something. Could God be getting you in flight mode? Could God be getting ready to be giving you some flying lessons? Is God getting ready to push you? You know, the idea of somebody pushing me, I really don't like that idea. You know, I'm non-confrontational, you know. But I mean, if we're joking around and playing or something like that, that's fine. I say playing. We just got back from vacation, the beach. I mean, my goodness, we were in the water. We were everywhere. We put something to do in every little slot of time we had. And so playing and having fun is still in my mind. But if somebody ever pushed me, God is going to have to intervene quickly with Holy Ghost power to refrain me from doing something. Because there's something about being pushed that is not receptive, well, at least of me. But what about when God pushes? What about when God, is God being a bully because of your situation? Do you feel like you're being treated unfairly because of what's going on? Maybe God's pushing you. Maybe the only thing that will work for you right now is for God in His providence and oversight to say, you know what, they've been that way for too long. I've got to stir things up and I want to push them out of the nest because I know they can do better. Maybe God is pushing some things around in the home. Maybe God is pushing some things, pushing some buttons in your life on the workplace. In the workplace, you ever had that employee that making you, doing all the work, maybe? And the one that was always calling in whenever morning you showed up. You had double work, and when they were there, they didn't work. And they complained about working with the work they had to do. Maybe God is pushing you to greater heights at the workplace. Maybe He's wanting you to develop some new wings, and to go greater heights, but He's using the area of the job scene to do that. I know firsthand about that. You've heard the story, but back when I worked at Georgia Tech, which means God's team, GT. I'll stick to preaching. Anyway, I worked with a guy for 11 months, and we were a team. Would go into a conference room. We would set the table, whatever the plans laid for, whether it was an open U, whether it was an oval, whatever it was. I didn't know there were so many different ways you can set a room. And there were times we had to go into the ballroom, and man, that was like 500 to 600 seats, and there was a stage we had to prepare with, you know, the skirt of the stage, and then things on the stage, and the whole time cell phone was ringing. I was a GSM, and every time the phone rang to the student center, I answered, "What do you need? What do you need? Where you at?" And so me and this fellow, we worked together for 11 months, and for 10 months in 3 weeks, he was great. But it was my last week there. And on that last week, he ignored me the whole week. every time I would do something and fix something, arrange a room or whatever the situation would be, he would come right behind me and redo it. That was enough for me want to push him. And I mean, this continued on, and he didn't speak to me. He was eyeing me and browbeating me. And then finally, at the end of the week, I was getting ready to go, and we were in the elevator. And I thought to myself, ain't nobody around. I'm about to clock out for my last time and leave. They'll never hear from me again. If I'm going to do something, this is the time. I'm talking about collars twisted, moving up on an elevator like in the movies. And then we got out and went our separate ways. But as I was packing up and getting ready to leave, I thought he would say something. He didn't say nothing. I was actually walking across the parking lot, and I heard a voice said, Justin. I said, you know, I took notice of it and went to him. He said, hey, man, I want to let you know that I've been trying to make your last week miserable here because I'm getting ready to lose my house. I'm at odds with my wife. And you said you were a Christian, and I knew you would take it. And so I gave it, and I gave it, and I gave it. And I wanted you to explode on me. I wanted you. He said, but you didn't do that. And he said, I just want to let you know what that was all about. And then months later, when it was time for my ordination, he actually found out and contacted me, and him and his family came. What does that got to do? God was pushing me. I had opportunity for revenge with myself. I'm telling you, listen, and I know this is live streaming and everything, but I'm flesh. I had opportunity to take care of it myself. But God allowed me to get right up to the edge and make the right decision. And I'm so glad I did. Because many times that's how it is, whether it's the job, whether it's the home, listen, marriage in general, parenthood, trying to be a parent, whatever the situation may be, God allows us to get to the edge because he wants to push us to fly. Maybe I should just ask the question, are we absolutely, totally satisfied with our home life? And if you are, praise the Lord. Are we absolutely satisfied where we want our marriage to be? Or is there still room to grow? Are we happy with the kind of parents we are? Or could we be better parents, grandparents? And on the job, are we happy with our jobs and the employees we are? Or could we be better? I believe we all would say in all those categories that we want to be better. God, He has this objective in our life, and it's during the times of comfortability when growth is at the point of being stunted growth, he will stir up the nest. He will awake things. And this is all in order to get the babies out of the nest. But number two this morning, I want to mention this to you briefly. Not only there's the objective, but then there's the directive. Why? Why the stirring? Why the agitation? Why so forceful? Why so sudden? What routes does he take to actually get us out of the nest? What does he do? He says, as an eagle stirreth up her nest. That's the objective. But then he says, fluttereth over her young. The directive has to do with fluttering. Now, the word fluttereth means to shake, but also can mean to shove. And this was done to stimulate movement. So in that nest, there is a stirring going on. Mother eagle's moving around, but now she starts to flutter like this. And what it's doing is, every time she flutters, it's on top of the kids. It's bam, bam, not to hurt, not to harm, but it's fluttering. It's moving toward the edge. It's fluttering. Y'all think I'm going to jump off here and try to fly, and I'm not. I guarantee I'll drop like a hammer. This baby, this mother eagle, she's stirring the nest. She's waking the nest up, but then she's fluttering. And what it's doing, it's shoving them. It's stimulating movement. That's the same way the Lord is. He stirs our nest, but then we feel at times in different situations like we've been overtaken in something. Have you ever received a burden out of nowhere? Have you just been going through your day, but then the phone rang and it was something that just stopped you in your stance? That's God fluttering. Have you ever received that phone call and it was bad news about your health, or a phone call where a big decision needs to be made in a very small space of time, and you feel the pressure and you feel the anxiety? That's God. He's creating a situation where He can get you to that edge. And listen, you've seen His wings as an eagle, as the eaglet sees the mother's wings, fluttering and then spreading abroad. These eaglets know they have wings and they know they can fly. They just need a push. And so sometimes in life we can be going about our day and going about our way, and then the phone can ring and something bad can happen, or it can be something at work, or lose our job. Go ahead, go on. You see, without Jesus' stimulation in our life, we will not be where we're at today. You would not be at the growth point you're at today had it not been for the Lord moving in your life and moving you along. Keep in mind, excuse me. I'm so sorry. I'm waterlogged. Listen, Jesus moving us along and growing us and maturing us. And keep in mind, this is a song of Moses. He is reflecting before his death what God has done in the midst of a faithless people. He said, the Lord is like a mother eagle. And there were times where the Lord had stirred up our camp. Stirred it up when Pharaoh was on our backs and we were headed right to the Red Sea. We didn't know what to do other than trust the Lord. And he said, that's what this song of mine's about, Moses saying. He said, the Lord is like the mother eagle. He stirs up our nest, and he'd done it many a times, leaving Egypt, but then Pharaoh on our backs. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young. And he's recalling that those instances reminded him as an eagle. And in essence, I believe Moses is saying, if it had not been for God stirring the nest in my own heart, surrendering the call to be Israel's leader, and then delivering them out of Egyptian bondage and getting to where we're at, to the parting of the Red Seas, I would not have seen miracles on this fashion before if it had not been for God stirring the nest. If it had not been for God stirring the nest and fluttering me along and coming to the place called Marah, and everybody was thirsty and needed a drink but couldn't drink because the waters were bitter. Yet when I bowed and emptied my heart before the Lord, he showed me a tree. And when I got the tree and cast it to the waters, the bitter waters were made sweet. He said, Moses, I would know nothing about the bittersweet experience having to do with the cross if it had not been the Lord Jesus stirring the nest. Sometimes he stirs the nest, and then he flutters over the young. And you know, the fluttering over the young can see wings, the wings of the mother, and make the connection there that they have wings, but also it kind of prods them. And I believe that this would be a time of doubting, if there ever was a time, when the mother eagle would flutter over the young. And I believe in the life of a Christian, when things happen suddenly and there's pain and there's heartbreak and these things happen, we have these heavy burdens, if there's ever a time that the devil would have us, that our flesh would have us to doubt God and his love, it would be then. Let me tell you why. Those eaglets have been loved and nurtured and cared for since birth. So why is Mother Eagle, why is she hitting me? Why is Mother Eagle fluttering, and why is she I thought she wanted me home with her and her securities. And why is she moving me to this old scary edge? I believe if there's ever a time, I'm not saying, listen, we should not doubt, but it is a part of the Christian life. We will doubt at times. You just got to know how to deal with it. Those times where God moves us and we're thinking, Lord, I've never been here before. Why, Lord, do I have to be battling cancer? I thought you loved me. Lord, why am I dealing with this? Lord, why did I get fired today? Lord, what's going on? I thought you loved me. Lord, it's not stopping. I'm about to go over the edge. Or could it be that our Heavenly Father believes in us enough and He has prepared within us enough ability to go over that edge and fly? I think one thing that holds us back more than anything is being in our comfort zone for so long. And Jesus is pushing us, and He's pushing us, and He allows us to experience things, to trust Him more so that we can see the Red Sea divide and so that we can drink from the bitter waters of Marah and yet it be sweet. God is stirring the nest in some of your lives. That's the objective. The directive is He's fluttering. It comes suddenly. It comes rapidly and almost like we're doubting He loves us, but we know He loves us. So what is He doing? He's starting us on flying lessons. Flying lessons. It says, as an eagle stirreth up her nest. Objective. Fluttereth over her young. Directive. But notice this. This is my last point. And we see the protective stage. Spreadeth abroad her wings. Taketh them. Beareth them on her wings. Spreadeth means that the mother eagle, she stretches out or displays what she has. This, I believe, there's so many ways you can slice this mother eagle thing, I'm telling you. I just had to turn it off last night. This is to take away any doubt or concern from them eagles that mother eagle has it under control. She spreads them wings. Look, she's stirring the nest. Wake up, wake up. Wake up, you little furry heads. Wake up. Not so harsh, but in a cartoon form. And she flutters. She flutters, and they're awake, and they're going to the edge, and then she... They're staring at her. I got this, children. I got this. It means to stretch or display. Says that she spreadeth abroad her wings. But then notice this. Taketh them. Taketh them. There's many people who have many different ideas about this point, and we're not going to slice every one of them. Taketh them means to seize. Some believe that at this point is when the actual flying lesson starts, and little, you know, she piles them up on her wings and then flying lessons. Mother Eagle saying, see, this is what you can do. You can do this. You don't think you can, but I'm telling you, I was once where you were, but look what I'm doing now. You know, spread the broader wing and taketh them. Then it says, beareth them on her wings, means to carry. The other aspect of that, it can mean she brings them to the edge. She shows her wingspan for many reasons, to calm their fears, to take them on flying lessons, but also to give that push while she's fluttering over them, nudging them. You know, she nudges them, and the wings are spread, and she's there to dive in and save them if she has to. Now, I've seen both scenarios on YouTube. Both have happened. Those wings, and I kind of feel good about the wings being something to alleviate the fears of the young ones. But also I've seen where she has scooped them little ones up and taken care of those little ones, carried them back to the nest. The main idea is this. God stirs the nest in our life, and He pushes us to the edge. And then when we go over the edge and we think everything is done and said and over, we're going to crash and fail and life is going to be no more, guess what he does? He carries us. He steps in. He swoops in and he bears us on eagle's wings and he carries us. You wonder how you get so low and so high in just a week's time frame? It's because that's how you know that the Lord has, as a mother eagle, has swooped in and has scooped you up and carried you back to greater heights. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him. Verse 11 to verse 12 is telling us, Moses is saying, listen, that's the same way the Lord works. And the Lord alone did that. He stirred up Israel's nest and fluttered over her to get her to the point of jumping. Spreadeth abroad her wings. This mother eagle had stepped in and saved the day with her wings. And so the Lord did when the children of Israel in Egypt and the plagues, that was the Lord. And the cloud by day and the fire by night, that was the Lord and his care and parentalhood, taking care of Israel. So the Lord alone did lead him. There was no strange God with him. I want to say this morning that there is a specific time when the Lord does the pushing. But he does it because he has a purpose, and that is for flying. Heavenly Father, we come this morning and we close this morning in Jesus' name, and we're thankful for your word, the truth of your word. God, I pray that it was something someone needed to hear, and I pray they'll respond in invitation time in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's stand to our feet, and if you need to come...